Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Hello, and welcome to Living Proof. I'm Bishop Joseph Castillo, and we're excited to have you on today's show. This is our first live podcast. We're doing a live podcast, and we're also going to put this to, of course, those of you who are probably watching on television. And we are airing on the Philippines and in Mongolia. And we'd like to welcome all of our audience, also our Facebook audience, and those watching on social media. And I'm excited to introduce to you a good friend of mine, our Tom McGregor. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to see you. God bless you. And it's quite interesting that we're on this particular show because our primary audience on national television is Philippines, which is mostly a Catholic audience. Great. And I'm a Protestant bishop. So, of course, there's some frictions between the Protestants and the Catholics, especially in particular countries. The Philippines is one of them, you know. But you're my good friend, and you're a Catholic brother, a believer in the Lord. You're a news reporter, investigative journalist, news reporter, and you're also a Catholic believer. So it's kind of controversial for me to have you on the show in the Philippines because there's a lot of anti-Catholicism in the Protestant world. Sure. Even on my Facebook, I have maybe 10,000 or something like that followers, 8,000 on my public Facebook. Also, most of them are really anti-Catholic. Sure. So this, of course, could get some of you upset. It might seem controversial that I am embracing Catholics, but I want to make clear my stance on this particular issue before we go forward. And this is not my stance, not iTunes stance or TBN stance. It's just my personal Living Proof stance. I embrace and love Christian believers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from every denomination, every background. If they believe that God came in the flesh, lived and died for our sins, rose from the dead, I embrace them. Now, it doesn't mean I embrace the Catholic Church institution. I don't even embrace the Evangelical Church institution because, you know, the Evangelical Church has all kinds of, fakes and phonies and charlatans and hucksters and pedophiles. The both Protestant and Catholic Church have them. Not only mention that, but even the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims. I mean, anywhere you have humans, you have a lot of mess, a lot of dirt, you know. But I do embrace a Catholic people as Christian brothers who I will see in heaven one day. I believe when we get to heaven, there won't be a Catholic heaven and a Protestant heaven. There'll be one heaven for everyone who's come through the door, and the door is not a denomination. The door is Jesus Christ. So I do embrace Catholic believers, and I love Catholic believers, and I have some Catholic priests and ministers who I know are good men of God. In particular, we have a guy named Father Flager. And Father Flager, if we could put him on the screen too, Father Flager, I spell with a P, Father Flager, if we could get him on the screen. Father Flager is a radical, charismatic, Southside Chicago. Have you heard of Father Flager?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah, he's a Southside Chicago. He's in the black ghetto, but he's white. And he's just a radical, charismatic, you know, Pentecostal preaching, screaming, yelling Catholic priest, you know. Sure. And they like pay hookers to come to church. They go out and they give money to hookers.
Not surprised.
Yeah. They give hookers money to come to church. So they'll say, if you come to, how much does it cost for 1 hour with you? And they say, $100. So they'll give him $100 if you come and sit into the church service for an hour. Sure. So he's really radical. I love him. He's on fire. Matter of fact, we had a citywide church thing with Baptists and Presbyterians and Pentecostals, and he was part of it. He came and he led prayers for us. And so he's a wonderful guy. My mother-in-law's Catholic. My sister's mother-in-law's Catholic.
Sure.
And she prays every day, and she loves the Lord, and she believes in Jesus. I mean, the woman has more prayer life than me, and she's like a 80-year-old Mexican lady, you know? You can't tell me she don't love Jesus, you know? So I know that a lot of Protestants want to demonize Catholics, but I don't believe that's the spirit of Christ. I believe that there's, 1.4 billion. There's hundreds of millions of devout people who love Jesus in the Catholic Church, and... But just look at her stance. I mean, it's very clear. She doesn't know. And about that, we'll talk about the election soon.
Sure.
But you had a prediction about the coming election, presidential election. Sure. Could you share with them your prediction?
Oh.
Not who's going to win, but who's going to run.
Oh, it's going to be Hillary. She'll get into the race. She cannot help herself. She's too ambitious.
How sure are you about that?
I'm 99% sure. I can't ever say 100.
I'll make you 100 RMB bet on television. If she runs for presidency, I'll give you 100 kwai.
Okay, we'll do the bet.
Because that's beyond my imagination. Yes. It's about 20 U.S. I bet a 20 U.S.
No problem, I'll do
it. I'm a bishop. I'm not supposed to bet, but this one I think is a sure thing.
That's okay. And if I lose the bet, I'll be happy.
Yeah, well, so would I. But she hasn't thrown in the towel. I have not thrown in the towel. We'll talk about politics in a second here. But I'm actually going to be this June in Geneva for a month.
Okay.
Meeting with UN leaders and so forth, and I'm beginning to kind of work in these circles of the United Nations to deal with public policy, develop public policy to help the poor.
Good.
And in the midst of that, I kind of have to maybe walk a fine line because I don't want anyone to be not work with me because of my beliefs. But the truth is the truth, and we want to speak facts. And the truth is, the European elites and also the leftist elites are heavily into occultism and secret societies and all these kind of things. And it's not even a secret, actually. I mean, they're heavily into it. And so what Tom is saying is absolutely true.
Well, I think they just – what's happening is they have no real love in their hearts because there's an emptiness in them. No one has taught them the truth. And if they hear the truth, they think it's a joke. So what they need to see is that real, authentic Christians, not hypocritical Christians, but people who are real believers. Mm-hmm. And then when they see that example, they might be willing to listen. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is many of these people are just followers.
Yeah.
Other people are following Satan, they follow Satan. Other people are following some witchcraft, they'll follow witchcraft. They don't think deep enough about it. They just think it's kind of trendy and cool, and because they have no real understanding of Christianity, then they fall for a lot of this occultism nonsense.
What about the liberals in America, the left, the liberals? Why are they trying to get criminals to vote, and why are they trying to get teenagers to vote?
Because they just want power. Liberals and Democrats, and it's gotten to the point where I am – almost to the point where I cannot even talk to Democrats. Because if you don't agree with them 100%, they are completely against you. They refuse to talk to you.
They get angry.
They get angry. Yeah. They're shocked. They want to shut you down. Then they even try to destroy your life. They'll try to call your boss to try to get you fired. They'll do doxing. I mean, it's gotten too dangerous to even talk to Democrats anymore.
Yeah, like someone on the right, or conservative, or I want to say Republican, but conservative, someone on the right, or even what's it called? If you're there's Republicans, conservatives. There's another
a moderate.
There's moderates, but there's another term.
Never Trumpers.
They believe not never Trumpers. They believe in people's right to choose. I forgot what you call them.
Oh, rhinos.
Rhinos.
Republicans in name only.
Well, you know these people on the right or wherever you want to call them, they're willing to talk and have a discussion. But it seems like 98% or most people on the left, they get angry, they want to throw insults, they want to defame you, they want to call you a racist, a bigot, chauvinist. They just can't seem to have a peaceful, good dialogue like this. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, Bill Maher is good.
Sure.
Bill Maher will have on his show a right-wing person, and he'll make his insults and his jokes, but at least he'll talk.
Of course.
Bill Maher will talk and have dialogue, you know. But a lot of the guys on the left, they won't even talk. They won't even have a dialogue. I heard even UC Berkeley, a lady, I think it was named Candace Owens, went to UC Berkeley to speak. And she said, no, it wasn't Candace Owens, it was somebody else, but this other Christian conservative woman. And she said it was the worst crowd she ever spoke at. Yeah. They were the whole time, they were jeering her. She couldn't even get a word out edgewise. They don't want to hear somebody that just share their thoughts, share what they believe. They just want to yell and scream and make accusations.
A lot of them are brainwashed. They grew up in an environment where they were told Democrats are always right.
Hold on, let's stop there. They grew up in an environment where they're taught the left is right, right? Exactly. This is why they want the kids to vote. Mm-hmm. This is why I believe, I don't know if I share it with you, the reason why, in my opinion, they want kids and criminals. They want kids and criminals, number one,
because
kids have grown up listening to the left's spewing propaganda on MTV, CNN, ABC, you know, all these, you know, liberal news networks. They've ate that. Their teachers left. Their university teachers left. Their high school teachers left. So they grew up. So this is Democrats' only chance to get votes.
Of course.
Because Democrats are losing blacks daily. Every day the blacks now have more jobs than the last 50 years or 40 years. There's less black unemployment now under Trump than there has been in over 40 years, at least 40 years. There's less Latin American unemployment than there has been in 40 years, and there's even less Asian American unemployment. The economy is skyrocketing. The economy is doing great. Unemployment is at its low, and they're losing blacks. They're losing women. They're with the whole abortion movement that's taking place. The movie Unplanned that came out, all the people speaking out against abortion, they're losing women, they're losing blacks, they're losing Latinos. So now who's going to vote for them? They got the crazies, but the crazies aren't enough to win. They saw that last election. So now they're going to go for the kids because the kids, like he said, have grown up being fed liberal propaganda. And why the criminals? Well, because the left is criminals.
Why would they according vote Republican?
Dinesh, right, according to Dinesh, the left is
criminals. Why would a criminal vote Republican? They're going to get more from the Democrats.
Exactly, yeah. They're going to get more leniency. But even Trump has been, he's been helping prisoners.
And yeah, that's very important. The reason it works for Trump is because if you prove yourself and you come out of prison and you want to be a good, productive citizen, you do deserve a chance. Okay, but what the liberals think is, okay, you come out of prison so you can vote. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's I want if someone's going to come out of prison,
I mean, Bernie wants them to vote in prison.
Oh yeah.
Wants them to pass the ballot in prison.
Even if they're rapists or terrorists, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Rapists and terrorists, he says, in jail have the right to vote. Yep. They're desperate for votes.
They're always desperate.
It's not about freedom. It's not about prisoner rights. Yeah. It's not about children's rights. It's not about that. It's about the fact that they don't have enough votes to get the office anymore. So they're hoping by lowering the voting age and getting everyone in jail to vote, they're going to be able to beat Trump.
For many Democrats, their God is power. Mm-hmm. That's all they care about is power.
Why do poor minorities believe that multi-millionaire rich white politicians like Hillary and Bernie care about them?
Probably because when they were younger, they were told the Republican Party represents the rich, the Democrat supports the poor people. And I think nowadays people are starting to realize that may not be so accurate. A lot of the globalist elites you see are actually Democrats. So I think this is why Trump won. These people had an awakening. They suddenly realized, oh my gosh, maybe the Democrats weren't always supporting our side. The fact is Democrats only supported power. Whatever gave them power, they supported. And now I think many voters had that awakening of Trump, and they said he's going to drain the swamp, and he's trying. And they see how hard the Democrats are fighting him and trying to stop him from fighting corruption, and that's really shocking a lot of people. I have met people who said they voted for Hillary, but they want to vote for Trump now because they realize the Democrats don't care about them.
Well, you know, we're both in China. Our wives are Chinese. Sure. We live in China. And we're kind of strange because we're pro-Trump and we're pro-Xi.
Exactly.
So we support China, we support Xi, and we support Trump. How that works, we're going to explain to you in a minute, okay? But I do want to say that being, you know, pro-Trump and being pro-Xi, Being an American in China or in any country, governments always worry. Are they CIA? Are they a spy? You know. So, you know, of course, I'm sure China's watching us and saying, are they CIA? Are they a spy? And to be honest with you, if the CIA ever approached me to be to work for the CIA to help them out, I would say no.
Well, and you would CIA, also be a terrible spy.
Well, yeah, I'd be a terrible spy, but I would say no because yeah. I support my country. Sure. I don't support the deep state.
I agree.
And the CIA and the FBI is full of liberal deep state actors. They're enemies of Trump, enemies of the administration, and quite frankly, in my opinion, the enemies of the American people. But most people don't know what the deep state is. They think there's just Republicans and Democrats. They don't understand this administration is really fighting. And how many deep state people, how many guys in the Republican Party are involved in Bilderberg, in the what is it, Grove? Bohemian Grove and Bilderberg, and Skull and Bones, and they're in part of this whole deep state Illuminati, and they're Republican.
Okay. Well, before we go to Bilderberger or anything, I'm not too big of a conspiracy theorist in a sense. For example, whatever I hear from Alex Jones, I take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. He had attacked me for three shows because I criticized him for criticizing Governor Perry.
But it is a fact that the world's elites meet in Bilderberg and they make it's, plans
it,
for
I'm
the
sure
Earth.
I'm sure it is, but I don't see like, you know, I'm not going for the Alex Jones stuff.
I don't have an exact quote with me, but it is a fact, and it could be found online, that President Bush Senior was chosen at Bohemian Grove.
Well, he is Skull and Bones. There's no denying that. Yeah. The Bush family are Skull and Bones. But I think
for what I saw is that he was chosen at Bohemian Grove to run. He was set up and planned.
Okay, well, let me address it this way, without using certain names.
And let's say Bush
people.
Is a big New World Order guy.
Well, okay, but let me address, and I also address those issues as well in some of my writings. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I will agree, you have a certain group of elites, but I don't believe they're in a certain like Bilderberger group or in a certain whatever. What they are is they're just simply, it's like a networking circle. You have a networking circle. They all say, hey, we have money, we have power. Let's try to make something work out. But
it's sort of like when people
need help with the job. Yeah. So you just, I don't see it as so conspiratorial. I think many of these people who are involved in those kind of power games, I don't see it as a conspiracy.
What does that mean to you, the word conspiracy?
When I say conspiracy, first of all, anything that Alex Jones says, and he was in a trial, he recently admitted in a trial that he lies. He admitted that he makes stuff up. Yeah. He said that under oath, okay? Mm-hmm. So don't forget that. But what I want to address is that you do have elitists, you do have circles, but they support
it. But when you say conspiracy, what do you mean by
I'm getting at is that those type of people, it's just more like, oh, you're my friend, so I have to support you. I don't think it's like an evil intention way. It's just that, well, obviously, you're going to support your friends.
Well, when I hear the word conspiracy, I think, to me, that means fake. Like, it's fake. It's just made up.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I think it means fake conspiracy.
Okay.
But when people get together and they make plans, unbeknownst to the public, and they have fake news.
Yeah.
You know, just like the whole Hillary's campaign.
Well, of course.
She made plans with Google.
Of course.
She made plans with YouTube.
Yeah.
They shadow banned the Trump ads. They shadow banned conservative ads.
Well,
that's what Democrats do. That's not called conspiracy.
That's just your basic Democrat. No, wait. First of all, that's just your basic Democrats in action.
Okay. Democrats, but it is a conspiracy. They conspired.
They conspired to shadow ban
ads, tell a fake narrative, pretend that Trump was losing in the polls.
Of course.
Trump was not losing in the polls. I know me and him were the only – look, first of all, you guys don't know, but I was invited by the United States Embassy and the United States Chamber of Commerce during the last election two times to debate all the Democrats because they couldn't find – I don't know if they asked you. I don't know. But they couldn't find any pro-Trumpers.
I have too many enemies there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, one of the guys I fought was the number one bundler for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, they couldn't find any pro-Trumpers who they would want to talk to.
Of course.
Maybe number two that had the guts to get up, or the cojones to get up and debate them.
Well, I was prepared for that.
So I went with the John Birch Society. You know John Birch Society?
I've heard of them, yes.
I sat with one of our guys named Robert from John Birch Society. He drilled me all night long because I'm not into politics, you know, but I'm plugged in. I'm aware of what's going on. So I had him train me on all the jargon and the politics and give me some, you know, some rational arguments. And I went in there and I killed him. I beat him all.
Sure.
I even had, I think it was BBC, say, sir, we never heard your perspective. Yeah. You were so clear. We never heard this angle. Can we interview you? And they were shocked that I beat a panel of four guys. One was the top bundler for Hillary Clinton. And one of the things I said was, Trump's going to win. Mm-hmm. I know he's going to win because I'm looking at polls, alternative polls. And in the alternative polls, he's up like 51, 52, 51, 52. And the polls on CNN and Politico, it says in the fine print how many people they tested in what areas. They were testing people in Democratic areas. They were not even real tests they were doing. Yep. They weren't giving fair tests. They were giving fake polls. It was a conspiracy, or they conspired to deceive Americans to discourage them to go out and vote for Trump because Hillary is so far in the lead. But it didn't work.
According to them.
It didn't work. So I believe totally in conspiracy. I don't believe in extreme.
Well, no, that's just simple Democrat Party operate.
Democrats, leftists, Illuminatis.
But that's what Democrats do.
Yeah.
Okay. And they play dirty tricks. That's just the way Democrats are. They play dirty tricks. I don't see it as this an intentional Bilderberger Satanism conspiracy. Mm-hmm. They just want power. Yeah. Their religion is power. Their God is power.
And their God is power, and they do worship. Even at Bohemian Grove, they make this big demon statue, and they worship it and stuff.
I mean, that's...
They say it's just for play or folklore, yeah, but it is.
As I said,
they wear hoodies. Yeah. I mean, there's pictures, documents, you know.
Well, I'm not going to... I don't know. And as I said, I'm not going to... Whatever.
Do you believe that Bush Sr. was involved in this New World Order?
Well, because he was a beginner. He's the godfather of the New World Order.
Oh, so you do believe that? You don't believe that's conspiracy.
He gave a speech.
I know. Well, praising the New World Order. I mean, it's fact, you know.
Yeah,
but
based on that. Based on that. And he's part of the elitist group. But as I said, it was more like, oh, okay, I'm in power. You're my friend. I want to help you. Mm-hmm. I see it. I don't see it as this type of, oh, you know, let's try to get this group of Satan group together for power. I don't see it that way. So, I see it more as just, you know, these people had wealth.
Power hungry.
And power hungry. They're going to support each other. And you say, oh, but you have to support the leftist views, or you have to support the globalism views. Okay. So what we see here is just the fact is we have to realize that the Democrat Party is... It has been going in the wrong direction for a long time. Now, if the Democrats were pro-union, although there's corruption in unions and labor unions, I do see if they had cared about the poor and they had shown it, like let's say Franklin Delano Roosevelt did, maybe even I would have supported the Democrats.
What did Obama do for his constituents, his African-American constituents?
Exactly. What did he do? I mean, and then as you see right now, he's globetrotting all over the world, flying high class with his own private jet probably, living a very fancy lifestyle. And does he really care?
And now his constituents under Trump all have jobs.
Of course.
For the first time in 40 years.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Exactly. To me, he was just a showpiece.
How could you be pro-Trump and pro-Xi? Isn't China?
I'm glad you asked.
And by the way, one of the reasons I invited Tom here on this show is because he has a new book coming out called...
U.S. versus China, From Trade Wars to Reciprocal Deal.
U.S. versus China, Trade Wars to Reciprocal Deal. Do you have that image? If you have that image, you can put it on the screen. But can you please tell us how can you be pro-Trump, or how could I be pro-Trump, pro-Xi? How does that even work?
Well, we can start with how I was approached for writing this book. I write some articles for CCTV. I'm a columnist there, and I was I had also written about Quora. Most of my Quora answers are pro China, but it's not pro China where I'm throwing out propaganda. It's pro China is I live here, I'm happy here, and I want people to know what the real China is.
And you understand their view.
Exactly, because I live amongst them. I live with regular people. I don't live in a bubble. I'm not an elitist for sure. And same as you. So what happens is I was writing a lot of answers, and then within the first 2-3 months, I had over 1 million views. So a publisher from Singapore contacted me and says, oh, we have some writers. They were Nobel Prize winners, and we want you to write for us. I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you have these Nobel Prize winners? I'm a nobody. Are you sure about that? Well, you look at your Quora.
What's your credit card number?
Exactly. You're right. I thought they were going to ask about money or something. And I said, well, look, I'm not going to write anything because I've had publishers approach me and then they ask for money and then I blocked them. So I'm letting you know right now that if you have to be for real, if you're and you have to support me 100%, you're gonna have to invest. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna pay anything. So, no, we are real. And then I double checked, and they really did have Nobel Prize winners. Okay. They focused on science. But what they wanted to do
this
was.
Is China's news agency?
Well, no, it was World Scientific Publishing.
Oh, but they saw you from Chinese.
Yeah, from Quora. Yeah, from
okay,
Quora.
So
the editor, what happened was, is they opened up where they wanted to do more books about Asia. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want it to be academic, they wanted it to be popular books. They wanted writers who are similar to me. They live an ordinary life. They want it to describe China for what it really is, not from an academic, not from a scientific point of view, but from real life. Mm-hmm. So they saw my Quora answers and said, why don't you try to write something? And then around that time, I was offered to do start a column for Channel News Asia. And my first commentary was about U.S.-China trade wars.
Okay.
I predicted it was going to be a really big fight. But they have said, why don't you write a book about that? And I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an economist. Mm. But no, just do it because you can try. And what I discovered was that to make a great book about U.S.-China trade wars, you need to do very neutral. But this is the kind of topic that's very hard to do neutral.
Especially you're American
exactly.
And you live in China.
Exactly. Yeah. Because what ends up
and
happening.
His wife is Chinese.
So yes, of course. Yeah. So what ends up happening is either it's going to be.
Yes, of course.
You're going to be 100% pro-China, but then you'll have to be anti-Trump. Or you're going to be 100% pro-Trump, but then you're going to be 100% anti-China. Mm-hmm. That book will not work.
Not true, yeah.
Because people need to know both sides. Mm-hmm. So they need to understand the Chinese side, and they also need to understand Trump's side. Yeah. So what my book does is it tries to show what China is thinking, and it also tries to show what Trump White House is thinking without using the fake news, without using the crazy noise. Just say, this is where China did right, this is where China did wrong. This is where Trump did right, this is where he did wrong. So when you write this type of neutral book, you will discover that there is an argument for China, but there's an argument for the U.S., but at the same time, look, they're on their way to signing a win-win trade deal.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, no one believed it.
And Trump's all about win-win.
I was on CGTN Dialogue Show when the wars were at its worst. And then Yang Wei is on me and says, what do you think is going to happen?
Yang Wei is quite interesting. Yeah. He's one of the top, maybe the one of the most famous.
He's the most famous in
correspondent
China.
Yeah. And he's on the show with him frequently.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a bit controversial.
It's fun. Yeah.
He's very pro-China, sure. That's for sure.
Oh, of course.
And so you're on with this guy who's very controversial.
Yeah.
He's actually, you know, I'll tell the audience. He got in trouble a few years ago, maybe not real trouble, but it just came out. He was drunk at home one day saying, all foreigners come steal our women and they're all spies. And, you know, and it was big news. So this guy he's not like pro-American at all.
No way.
He's totally pro-China, pro-Chinese.
Exactly.
You foreign.
And that's for real.
Lao Wai, you know.
Yeah.
And so you're on the show with him at the height of the friction.
Yeah. And he asked me, he said, so what's going to happen? And I said, U.S. and China are going to sign a win-win trade deal at the end. Maybe not in the next few months, but probably a year or a 2 year later. And Yang Rei, for the first time ever, could not say a word. He pauses for about 2-3 seconds with his mouth wide open. And then he's like, how could you believe that crazy idea? But look what's happening now.
It's like,
what's happening now.
Trump said to one guy, he said, listen.
Yeah.
He said, you're either plugged in or you're not.
Exactly.
And some men just don't get it.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. I trust you are blessed and encouraged. We have more on this series coming to you next week. So tune in next week and catch the broadcast. Make sure you call and send in a donation, send in a seed, support this ministry if it's blessed you in any way. If you think it will bless and encourage others, your financial support is very important. If you go to our website, nfbeijing.com, www.livingproof.org/store, you can get some of our ministry products, CDs, and we'll be offering the DVDs of all these sermons coming soon. So go visit us online, like us on Facebook, add our YouTube channel, where you're going to get a bunch of bonus materials, everything that you don't see on the show. You're going to get that on the YouTube channel, Anif Church at YouTube. And be blessed and encouraged. We love you. We want to encourage you to re-dig the wells of our fathers and also dig new wells for what God's going to do in our generations.